Get the rundown on this week's games now on the Rooten Report. Live, WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rooten Report Live. I'm Dave Rooten. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And we've got a good show for you today. I spent 4+ hours at Fairfield Ward High School yesterday and watched the baseball and softball games, two very, very different games. Wrote about them on the Rooten Report today. And we're going to talk to three of the protagonists from the game. Jimmy Dobbs of Fairfield Ward, Andrew Oppenheimer of Staples, and Emma Hamilton at Darien. And then coming up towards the end of the show, we're going to have Annabelle Adams from the Darien Girls Lacrosse team, and she just suffered a torn ACL. We always talk about the injuries that girls are suffering. ACLs have become an epidemic, but we're going to start right in right now with Jimmy Dobbs of Fairfield Ward, who's been having a great season, a great career, and as we're going to find out, we're going to have to talk to compliance. He's been with the program for 8 years. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
All right. Hey, before we get going, I gotta ask you. I can't figure out Fairfield Ward. I always know to dress as if it's going to be 10 degrees colder than every place else. So I go to the softball game first yesterday, and I'm shedding clothes, my hoodie, and I'm taking things off because I'm too warm. And then I walk only about 200 yards to your field, and I'm putting all the clothes back on again. What's going up there, Ward?
Yeah, no, it's always windy up there. There's never no wind. I think that gives us a big advantage at home. We practice with it and through it. Early on in March, it's always freezing. The wind's whipping through there, so
it
makes it uncomfortable for the opponent, I think.
It's kind of weird. It's the softball, there was no wind.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know, did Brett put up a wind tunnel somewhere right at the baseball field, and it's nowhere else?
Yeah, no, it was never like that before. Yesterday was crazy. I've never really felt that wind up there.
But it was like every fly ball was an adventure.
Yeah.
Let's talk about yesterday, because I didn't want to talk meteorology with you. But whenever you play Staples, it's the best rivalry in the FCAC in baseball. And really on the state level, because you guys have been playing each other in the state playoffs the last few years. But a wild game yesterday. I sat through a softball game that was 1-0 in 10 innings. And then I come up yesterday, and you're in the second inning. It's already 5-2. You guys put up 5 runs in the first inning. You've got one of the best offensive teams in the state. You had the lead the whole time, but Staples kept getting within a run, and then you finally put 3 runs across in the sixth inning that turned out to be big in an 11-9 win. One of the crazier games between you and Staples?
Yeah, no. Tommy really kept us in the game. I mean, if you look at the scoreboard, you wouldn't think he pitched that well, but I think with the wind, if there wasn't any wind, a lot of those balls they hit weren't dropping. They were going to be outs, but the wind took some of those balls into the gaps and allowed them to score a lot of runs. And same for us. That was big with Henry. He got us on the board early in the first inning and really got us going. And again, Tommy just kept us in the game. He competed really well.
Yeah, Tommy Galvin really kind of gutted it out for you guys. And like you said, the numbers were misleading because he allowed 8 runs, but 3 of them were unearned. For all the pitchers yesterday, it just it would have been a different game on a different day. What about for you yesterday? A typical Jimmy Dobbs day: 2 for 3, 2 RBIs, 2 runs. Part of a big offensive effort, and that's been the case. You guys are averaging 10 runs a game. First of all, your performance yesterday.
Yeah, I felt good at the plate. Just tried to keep everything simple, stay up the middle. Wasn't trying to do too much fell behind with two strikes a lot, which I didn't really want to, but I feel very comfortable with two strikes, falling pitches off that I didn't want to hit, and getting a good pitch to it and driving runs.
You're only a junior, but you've already made a big name for yourself your first 2 years, and you're hitting .410 right now with three homers and 12 RBIs, and you've scored 14 runs, and you're part of just a great offense, team offense, that we'll talk about in a second. But how much easier is it? You know, your coach Brett Connor said this could be the best offensive team he's ever coached, and you guys are on your way to proving that right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's great knowing that I have all these guys behind me that can hit. It gives me a lot more confidence in the box, knowing I'm going to get a pitch to hit. We really do have the best lineup, I think, 1 through 9. There's not a guy in there that can't hit and drive in runs in certain situations. Like yesterday with the intentional walk, I had full faith in Nick or Andrew Blanco behind me to bring me in, and that's what they did. I don't think Blanco, who wasn't really in conversation starting at all, a few injuries, and he's we came in the Danbury game. I think we were up a run, but he came in off the bench and did a grand slam. And he's been in the lineup ever since. He's been great. And he's the one that drove me in yesterday. So
he's hitting .500. You're hitting .410, and you're only about third on the team in hitting. It's crazy. I went and looked at. I was on Game Changer this morning, and team batting average is .385. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, no, we can hit, and it's great knowing that.
You guys have been more balanced, and you guys have had some really great pitchers, and obviously because of injuries, you lost your ace. You got a whole bunch of guys. It's really been a lot of pitching by committee and just a whole bunch of – yeah. It's kind of a different dynamic where you're not asking a pitcher to shut somebody down. A pitcher can, you know, give up 3, 4, 5 runs, and then they're going to be able to still get a victory out of it.
Yeah, no, what we tell our pitchers is just pitch to contact and trust your defense. Coach Connor preaches that in practice, just no errors. We've always had a very good defense. Ever since I came up as a freshman, I've always been impressed with how well we do play defense. And I think as a pitcher, they know that, and they're able to pitch with a lot more confidence, even if they don't have that 90-mile-an-hour fastball or anything overpowering. They could just throw strikes and trust everyone behind them.
I want to talk a little bit the other interesting dynamic with you. You're an 8-year member of the team, really.
You
can explain to listeners why I say that.
Well, yeah, I was a bat boy in third grade. I was really only a bat boy for that one game, but I've always been around the team. Coach Connor always has done a great job with me and kids in my grade, just allowing us to come in and see what the Ward baseball team's about. And he's still doing it now with all the camps he does and the ones we run. It's great knowing as, like, coming in as a freshman what the program's about, opposed to, like, coming in as a freshman and having to figure out what it's about and not knowing what you're going to get out of it. I think we have a big advantage when it comes to that, and a lot of programs are seeing what we do and are starting to catch on and trying to do the same thing.
What's it like in town right now? You know, Brett has really taken that program and brought it up to a statewide level. Is it something, and it's obvious you wanted to be a bat boy and be around the team, is it something that in Fairfield you aspire to, if you're in the Ward District, you want to be a baseball player on the team one day?
Yeah, definitely. Even when I was little, 12 years old, I really wanted to do it. I always looked up to the guys playing. Was at every game with my dad in right field. Had a few buddies with me. Just always just watching literally everything, every pitch, seeing what they do. Like, I just loved it. And I think kids now love it too. I'm glad I could be the one that they look up to. Just lead by example.
When you're that age, the Ward players seem like major league players to you?
Oh, yeah. Yep, for sure.
What's it like now that you're one of the ones that everybody's looking up to?
I'm just trying to lead by example, do everything the right way. So when they get here, they know what to do and how to act.
Okay, as we finish up here, crazy schedule. You play Staples. Now you got tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in Norwalk. You play the Bears. One loss, best pitching staff right now, probably in the state, if not the league. Definitely the league, if not the state. What about tomorrow? We got pitching going against hitting.
Yeah, I think if we just stay with our same approach we have all year, just we believe we could hit anyone, and I know we can. We just need to go into the game with confidence, knowing that whoever they throw, we'll be ready, and we could hit, and just trust the defense as a pitcher, and we'll make plays for them.
And then you get Staples in a non-league game, a game that's already been postponed three times. It was supposed to be the season opener. It might be played a little differently because it's a non-league game for both teams. But what's the Ward Staples rivalry like?
Oh, I love it. Just it feels a little different before that game, like opposed to any other game. I just always loved playing it. It's always very, very competitive. It's never like a blowout or anything. It's always a close game. And it just gives me a little extra fire whenever I play them. Just want to beat them.
All right. Well, Jimmy, you're having your typical great year. The Ward baseball team, typical great year, 11-2 right now and climbing. I'll probably see you once, if not twice, more the next 2 days. So congratulations on a great start, and good luck the rest of the way. Thanks for taking a little time here today.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, that was Jimmy Dobbs of the Fairfield Ward baseball team. We're going to take a break, and when I come back, we'll go to the Staples side of it with Andrew Oppenheimer. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave has to say about this week in high school sports. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and as I've talked about, Ward Staples is the best rivalry in baseball right now going on, and we saw it again yesterday in a wild game, and we got the Ward perspective from Jimmy Dobbs, and now we're going to go to the Staples side of things and their great pitcher and shortstop, Andrew Oppenheimer. Oppie, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Tough one yesterday. What was it like playing in those conditions?
Yeah, it was a tough game. We got off to a tough start, but it was a fun one overall. I was really proud of the way the team bounced back. I told them after the game, it's easy to quit after going down 5-0 in the first inning, but we fought and we battled, and I'm proud of the way we held ourselves the whole game.
Yeah, I know. Talking to Jack McFarland, your coach, after, you never want to lose. You guys never want to lose to Ward, but you guys got within a run. You guys got within a run two times and almost rallied again in the seventh inning. So, Staples teams never quit, and we saw that again yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's obviously one of the biggest rivalries in the FCAC, and we take every game. It's always like extra competitive when we play them. Never been a blowout. So it was a close game between us and Ward. So yeah, it's unfortunate we didn't come out on top, but we still like where we're at in the FCAC, and we're ready to fight with anyone.
Was yesterday the windiest conditions you've ever played in?
Yeah. I mean, my hat blew off a few times in the field. I had to chase it down, but yeah.
I just had Jimmy Dobbs out there. I mean, every pop fly was an adventure. I mean, the ball could look like the left fielder was going to make a play, and then, it was the shortstop's ball.
Yeah, it was crazy. There were some high fly balls, too. I lost in the sun, like ran across the field with the wind. It was pretty crazy. It's just had to communicate with the team, and we got most of them, I think.
Yeah, it's just one of those days where it's a crazy game. You really kind of want to win, but there's high scoring, and again with the conditions, it's almost like it's not a normal loss in some respects.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had no idea it was going to be windy. I checked the weather before the game. I saw just sun, so definitely a surprise when it started blowing. But I think since both teams had to deal with it, there's no advantage or disadvantage to anyone.
No, it was weird. I was at the softball game before your game to do two games. You know, I went from a 1-0 10-inning game to a 20-run game. But softball field, which, I mean, both center fields are pretty much touching each other. And over at the softball, I'm taking clothes off because I'm hot. And then I get over to your game, and I'm putting them back on again. It's I think Brett Connor's got a wind tunnel there right on the field that gives him a little bit of an advantage or something.
Yeah, he must have been plotting something. I don't know.
What? Talk just about what this rivalry is like, because it's you guys are two of the best teams in the state. You have been over the years, these last several years, and especially since Brett has taken over at Fairfield Ward. And you know, you guys have been playing each other in the state playoff. You played in a final 2 years ago. You played in the semis yesterday. What's that game like? Is that you don't have a natural rival, a town rival? Is that the one you kind of circle on the calendar first?
Yeah, definitely. I would say Ward's one of our biggest rivals. And like you said, this goes back years. I remember when I was a sophomore, we faced them in the state championship last year. They beat us both times in the regular season. We knocked them out in the playoffs. And this year, I'm sure we're going to see them in the FCS and the states again. So it's always super personal when we play them, and we always come out with some extra fire.
Do a lot of your guys know their guys?
Yeah, we know them from club teams. I know Meyer Stransky from the Grind. I played with him over the summer. So we kind of know what to expect when going into the game against them. And try to game plan against that. But then again, it's baseball and anything can happen. And we just have to be able to adjust.
I think one of the best things about the rivalry, too, is mutual respect. You know, there's no trash talking. There's no any extracurricular stuff. It's just two really good teams that respect the other. And whichever team wins knows that they really gained an important victory.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we obviously know that Ward is one of the best hitting teams in the state. We're more known for our pitching and defense at Staples, so it's always like a good matchup every time we face each other.
Actually, you set this, you teed that question, this question up perfectly for me, because I was texting with your coach this morning. I wanted to get some stats for you, and I had forgotten. Well, I'd forgotten the second part of this. I remembered in the semifinal win last year. It was a 10-inning, 4-2 win, and you pitched the first 9 innings. You were brilliant, and finally, because the numbers had to come out, but you turned they had the bases loaded in the bottom of the 10th, and you turned part of turning the game end in double play.
Yeah, that game was incredible. That's probably my favorite game I've ever played in my life. I mean, I just remember we were all just so locked in as a team, and we moved as a unit and so focused, and we were cheering for each other every play. And then that last play, it was just you can't make that stuff up. It was just incredible.
I mean, between that, the pitcher's duel the year before, you guys just play memorable games on the highest stage. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
What's the dynamic like for somebody who is a pitcher and plays the field as well? You've had a lot of great pitchers there while you've been there. So you've been pretty much the number two pitcher for most of the time. And then obviously you're playing shortstop, which is a key defensive position. What's it like for people who don't know, just making the transition back and forth?
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy. It's certainly hard on coach trying to balance my pitch count and what I can play shortstop. Coach McFarland does a really good job. Not overusing me in like a practice. He'll tell me to take it easy on the throwing and stuff. And he always tells me when I'm pitching so I can plan ahead and make sure I keep my arm healthy, because I actually had an arm injury a couple of years ago where I tore something in my shoulder. So he's been really cautious with that and helpful. So, yeah.
Is it hard how do you do things in practice just to make sure you get your pitching work in while you're getting also your defensive work in at shortstop?
He usually splits the groups up, so I'll go to shortstop and get my reps in, and then he he always allots some time if I need to go do bands or plyo balls or work on my mechanics or throw a bullpen. He always lets me do that. He's really lenient and helpful with all that sort of stuff. So I think that's what's made it so successful and allowed me to stay healthy for the past 2 years.
He's also probably one of the most unconventional coaches, just in terms of philosophy, in terms of how he uses his pitching staff. Until the end of the year, it's not just if you have three starters, you just take turns going. He kind of looks at, you know, some non-league games. He's rarely going to throw an ace in a non-league game because you want to win your league games and make sure you're in the FCAC tournament. You probably have nothing to compare it to because you haven't been on the high school level on a staff where you use just three starting pitchers, but he wants to keep you guys fresh for the postseason, and obviously you've had the success in the state playoffs. What's it like just in terms of being on a staff with that philosophy?
All of our players, all of our pitchers really buy into what he tells us at practice, and we all agree with his philosophy, as clearly it's been successful. We've made runs in the state playoffs for the last few years, so we know it works, and we really stick to it and buy into it, and whatever he says goes, because he knows best.
I asked Jimmy Dobbs this question for Fairfield. When you're playing in Little League, do you look up to the Staples players, and are you aspiring to one day play for the Rutgers?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I went to some Staples games. I got some Chad Knight signed baseballs, and it was really cool just like watching them play, because one day I knew I was going to be up there and doing that. And we actually had a Little League day where all the Little Leaguers came on the field and we high-fived them and met them and signed balls. And it was just like a really cool full circle moment to be able to do that. And it was just like the community in Westport and Staples is just highly recognized. And it's just a really great thing that we do.
That's pretty cool. I don't know if people realize what it's like watching a game there and the facilities, and your Diamond Club operates like a football gridiron club does.
Yeah, I see my parents actually members, and I see how hard they work, and everyone chips in, gives their ideas, and they execute it really well. So it's really awesome to see that happen.
Okay, well, you got a busy week again. You got a Trumbull team that's struggling a little bit right now, but has a lot of talent on it tomorrow, and then Ward in a non-league game that'll probably be played a little differently than a typical Staples Ward game. But you guys are right in the thick of things. It's a typical Staples team, and congratulations on the success so far. Good luck going forward, and thanks for taking a little bit of time here with me and joining me to talk a little Staples baseball.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Okay, that was Staples' Andrew Oppenheimer. We're going to take a break, and on the other side, we're going to go to softball and Darianne's Emma Hamilton. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Expert analysis on all things high school sports. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to make the switch from baseball to softball. When I wasn't watching the baseball game up at Fairfield Ward, I started my day with the softball game, and it was an unbelievable pitcher's duel, a 1-0 Darianne win over Fairfield Ward, in which there were 45 strikeouts in the game and just two walks, tremendous pitching. And we found out yesterday her nickname is Ice because nothing gets to her in pressure situations. And she delivered yesterday again, and for the second time in 15 days, a game-winning hit in extra innings of a scoreless game. And that's Darianne's Emma Hamilton. Emma, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We got to come up with something besides ice. Ice has been done before. I don't know if we call you Miss Extra Innings or what we're going to do, but I'll work on it. I haven't had enough time since your game ended, but well, we'll come up with something besides ice, but for now, ice it is. Yesterday was such a great game. a weird game, and then ultimately for you, a dramatic game when you drove in the winning run with a single in the top of the 10th inning to break up a scoreless tie and get a 1-0 win. We talked a little bit after the game. What's going through your mind again when you're in a scoreless game and you're in a situation to deliver a run-scoring hit?
You know, there's a lot of pressure in these situations, and, you know, our team has gone through that multiple times with Stanford and St. Joe's. We've gone into extra innings. So, you know, it's like you can't really be making mistakes in those scenarios. And, you know, we were getting players on base at some point, but we weren't able to bring them in. And like, as I've said before, I did have a couple opportunities where I could have gotten a hit and brought in a run, but I wasn't able to do that early in the game. But, you know, doing that later in the game, you know, we kind of secured that for my team. And, you know, we had to do that for Vivian because of what happened, her having to come out so sudden. It was really scary, the whole thing. But I think Claire Willing did a really great job stepping in and closing out the game so we could take that win.
Yeah, I think you guys, the way the season has gone, your coach Nick DeMeo has probably gone heavy on the antacids, been making a lot of runs to CVS because you guys have played 5 1-run games and you're 4-1 in them. And then you've played 1 2-run game, and that was the game before yesterday. And it was your first loss of the year to New Canaan 2-0. Of course, it was a scoreless game and a game-winning hit in the sixth inning. It's number one, and we'll get to your pitching and Vivian not, but you know the other team is not going to score a lot of runs. Is it kind of different when you know you're going to be in low-scoring games and you're going to have against good teams and there's not margin for error? You guys got to make every play on defense and not allow opportunities, and you got to take advantage whenever you can produce a run?
Yeah, definitely. You know, with these low-scoring games, a lot of the time it's a pitcher's duel. And as my coaches talk about, when there's not a lot of action in the field and then suddenly a ball gets hit to you, like, that really matters. Like, that's like a crucial play that you have to make, and, you know, it could catch you off guard. So, you know, sometimes it could be hard to stay focused in the game when you're out on the field. But we really try and do that and back up our pitchers, because, you know, they leave everything on the field for us.
And then you had in the seventh inning, it was nobody's ever seen this before. I'm guessing what happened is Vivian Knott, your ace, one of the best pitchers, if not the best in the state, strikes out a batter, and I'm guessing she assumed you guys were going to throw the ball around before, you know, right after, and she kind of turned back to the mound, and instead the ball came back to her, and she got hit in the back of the head and had to leave the game. Was that just, I'm sure you've never seen that either, just kind of a, it's nobody's fault, just sort of a miscommunication, strange thing?
Yeah, it was definitely a miscommunication. You know, usually we throw it around, but, you know, it's no one's fault, and it was, like, really unfortunate, and we're hoping that she's going to be okay. Hopefully it's not too severe, because we're really going to need Vivian for our upcoming schedule and, you know, during playoffs. But, you know, hopefully she's going to be doing okay. And even then, you know, we still have Claire. She's pitching amazing, so she's going to help us too.
Yeah, I texted last night with Nick just to see if there was any update, and I guess she's going to get examined and just make sure she hopefully doesn't have a concussion. But how was she at right after that happened?
Well, after the game, actual, you know, impact, she went back to the dugout, and it sounded, from what I heard, that it was not too bad. It was just a headache, which could just be, you know, from the ball hitting her. But I think she was doing better, like, at the end of the game. She was, like, you know, cheering for us because we won. We had to do that for her because she pitched great before she had to come out. So we should have closed that game off for her, and we did. But, yeah, it sounds like she's doing better. I talked to her yesterday, and she's going to see the doctor today, and hopefully we'll get another update.
Okay, hopefully it's good news for Vivian and for the team. How about, you know, we kind of talked about all of what's it like for you? Did it throw you guys off in, right when it happened? And so having to make a pitching change so unexpectedly?
Yeah, it was definitely shocking. I don't think anybody really knew how to react because, you know, we've never really seen anything like that. But, you know, just like it was just an accident. But, you know, Claire kind of stepping in, and she didn't even get a chance to warm up at all. She was just going out there and, you know, getting her warm-up pitches right there on the mound. And, you know, we were all kind of at a loss for words and, like, you know, hoping that this wasn't too serious because, you know, Vivian is a huge, huge contributor, both defensively and offensively.
Yeah, Claire's actually a good story, and I thought about this. I want to do a story on her because she'd be a starting pitcher for a lot of teams and a good one, and she's just has the misfortune or the coincidence or whatever you want to call it that she's there at the same time as Vivian is. But, you know, Nick's always said he's got two starting pitchers, and I think people just kind of brush that off, and then you see yesterday where you really do need a good number two, and Claire comes in against a really good offensive team and retires all seven batters she faced.
Yeah, you know, they both work really hard. I've been playing with both of them since Little League, and, you know, they've been shutting down teams a lot, and, you know, I know they're both on great club teams and they're working really hard for this. So, you know, they deserve that everything. They deserve everything they've got going for them. And they're both just pitching great for our team.
What about facing Emily Dowd's really, really come on. I mean, she was already really good and she was at her best yesterday with, she walked two batters, but she didn't walk the first one, I think, until the eighth inning. And she struck out 23. What was it like? I'm guessing she was one of the toughest, if not the toughest pitcher you faced so far.
Yeah, I think for me, she might have been the toughest pitcher with her speed and her spin. I had trouble making contact throughout my other at-bats. But, yeah, you know, there was Lauren Fico. She had good speed. Emily just, you know, she had great speed and spin, so I was like struggling with that. But, you know, you just have to make the adjustments to shorten up. Like my coaches have said, we've been working on that during practice to like shorten up, start your hip and like choke up, and just sometimes it's just you got to stick the bat out because with that speed it can get the ball like far, it can get, you know, hard grounder, like, you know, shallow in the outfield. We can't have these like big loopy swings when we're facing like these quality pitchers like Emily Dowd and Lauren Fico. And, you know, we've still got great pitching coming up, you know, with Norwalk, Maddie Collins. But, yeah, we've been working on shortening up. And, you know, it was hard to kind of adjust to the spin. But what I found to help me was moving up in the box to help make contact before the ball was breaking, you know, with the curve or, like, rise or something. And, you know, it felt really good to make contact in my last at-bat to bring in that run.
Well, it's been a great softball season, and the rest is going to be fantastic because there's so many good pitchers. I think there's four teams that could probably are co-favorites to win the title, and then there's two or three that could beat anybody on any given day and could definitely produce some early round upsets. So it's going to be more of an obstacle course for you guys, but you've navigated it well so far. You're a big reason why. We're going to come up with next time I have you on, we're going to have something other than ice. But Emma, congratulations. You're the second terrific Emma Hamilton I've covered on the Darien softball team, and you're having a great year, so keep it up. Good luck to the Blue Wave. You have a big game tomorrow with Danbury, and thanks again for taking the time here.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that was Darianne's Emma Hamilton. We're going to stay in Darianne, but move over to lacrosse and Annabelle Adams on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
A look at the local high school sports scene, from coaches and athletes to a preview of this week's games. It's the Rudin Report on WICC. Now, your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and as I've said repeatedly, the one comment I get about the show since I started this in September is how good the athletes that I have on are, and it's why I love this job. I get to be around a bunch of really great kids, and we've had three on already, and we've got another one coming up right now, and we're going to talk about some things that I really, really wish we didn't have to talk to her about. But we're going to also talk about what a great lacrosse player she is for the number one team in the state, Darianne, and that's Annabelle Adams. Annabelle, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's kind of hard to go anywhere else. But first of all, part of the reason I had you on, and I talked to coaches about it, I've never really talked about someone undergoing it. But unfortunately, I guess it's going to be 2 weeks ago tomorrow. Tore your ACL in practice. Number one, how are you doing?
You know, I've been better, but pretty good. I'm not in any pain, which is good. And I have my surgery in a little under 2 weeks.
Okay. And and you got one of the best surgeons with Paul Sethi, how everyone knows.
Yeah.
But I was talking to Stephanie, who's the co-owner of Grizzlies with Lisa Lindley. And I don't know if she got it from you or somebody else, but apparently Dr. Sethi said that you're going to be like his 26th or 27th ACL with I think, a high school female athlete this school year.
I didn't know about that, but that's crazy.
I didn't know if she got it from you or, it's such an epidemic right now. Is there any part with you or female athletes where you're actually thinking, I don't want to get my ACL, or are you able to compartmentalize and block that out?
I mean, it's definitely a fear I've always had, just how common it is, especially in female athletes, but it doesn't really consume me that much, where I'm too scared to do anything because I'm scared that I'm going to tear my ACL.
Did you just, I'm guessing that so many of them happen where an athlete's not even really doing anything. What happened when you suffered your injury?
Yeah, so mine was non-contact, so I was just dodging, and I planted, and I heard the pop, and that's sort of when I knew.
Oh, man, it's just, it's crazy. Every people don't realize either that most of these injuries are non-contact. It's really awful. I want to double back to this, but let's not forget that you're one of the top players in the state and country. You're going to UVA next year to play. You are having a great season. I know you got disappointed, but just talk a little bit about how well you and the team were playing.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the reason we were so successful, or we still are so successful, is just we have such a tight-knit group, especially our senior class. I think especially after most of us were a part of last year's lack of success, we all decided to bond this year and get really close because we all want those championships so much harder than we did, obviously, after last year. So I think a lot of our success can be credited to that sort of closeness that we have this year. And also, I think this year what has really been helping us is our draw. The three girls that are on the draw right now, we obviously that last year, the draw was sort of our weakness, and that can be seen as part of a reason why we didn't come out successful. But this year, Cam, Anna, Adriana, they're doing such an amazing job on the draw. Callie too, they're all killing it. So I think that is really important.
And they really dominated. I was there Thursday night for the Ridgefield game, and 18-5 win against a very good Ridgefield team, and maybe the best performance by the team this year. Everything worked that night.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What about, and you talked about the chemistry, and let me qualify this for everybody listening. When Annabelle says that we didn't have success last year, that means they didn't win the FCAC or the state title. They won just about everything else, but when in Darien, when you don't win a championship and you lose to New Canaan, which they did, that's unsuccessful in the Darien playbook. But it's been chemistry this year, and you know, Lisa Lindley, your coach, talked about who's going to step up for you, and it's really been what made you guys successful even before you got hurt, and that's balance on the team and getting scoring from a bunch of people. I know Katie Walsh in particular has kind of upped her offensive game, but you guys could have five or six different players leading the team in scoring on a given night.
Yeah, I think that's also part of the reason we've been so successful is it's really hard for other teams' defenses to, like, shut down one person when all seven of us are scoring. So I think that's a really key part in our success. And just having someone any given day who can step up and be the person to score five goals or be the person to win the draw.
As a leader on the team, how do you lead when you're not able to be on the field?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's tough not being out there, but I've sort of taken on more of like a coaching role after the injury. So I stand near the substitution box and I'll talk to girls when they come off the field, tell them what I'm seeing from the sideline, like what they can do better. Just giving them my point of view, especially since a lot of the people who are playing now are sort of younger with less experience. I think that part of being a captain is honestly the most important because obviously I can't be on the field, but I can still be a role model and like really helpful for all these younger girls.
How do you see the game differently now being on the sideline than when you're playing?
Honestly, it's a lot different. I think while I'm playing in the game, obviously there's a lot of like stress and anxiety and chaos. And so not everyone's like thinking clearly or can see everything that's happening when you're focusing on yourself. So it's a lot different seeing it from the sideline. And I've already learned so much just from watching, just seeing how we run the plays and not being in them and like learning how to beat certain defenses. There's just so much that's different from watching while you're playing and watching on the sideline.
How frustrating is it when it's your last year? You want to be out there, your last opportunity, and just how much is there any part of you when you're watching the game where you're just saying, damn, I want to be out there?
Yeah, obviously it's tough not being able to finish out my senior season and being able to play with all my friends. But, you know, I've played in 50% of the games this year. I didn't really miss out on a lot of super competitive games. I got to play against St. Anthony's, which was awesome. Teams like Garden City, where we went to overtime, those games. So, like, it's hard, obviously, not being able to play, but there's so much there's so many positives to it. Like, I did get to play, which is great.
I want to ask you about this because I want to plug it, too, and I didn't mention it on the show. We talked about it with Lisa Lindley last week, and I don't think people really realize how big a deal this is. But they announced they went from 25 to 5 finalists for the T. Wharton Award, which is the Heisman Trophy for NCAA women's lacrosse. And three of the five are former Darien players, two that Annabelle played with. You've got the Humphrey sisters, Ashley and Chloe, and you've got Shea Dolce, the Humphreys at North Carolina, Shea at BC. How, from a player standpoint, and you know some of them, What's it mean to be part of a program that could produce three players like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's such an insane accomplishment to have three Darien athletes out of the five Tourton finalists. And honestly, it's really great to see as like someone who is in the position that they once were as like senior captains on the lacrosse team. Just because they've set the bar so high for this program and for the girls that come after them, obviously, like me and all the girls in my class, So it's really awesome seeing that, especially since Chloe's been such a mentor to me. Like, I used to get lessons from her in her backyard and her sister when I was in middle school. So, like, it's really cool to see that.
Well, Annabelle, you're going to be representing Darien the same way at UVA next year. So sorry about the injury. Heal quickly. Good luck with the surgery. And thanks for taking the time here.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Annabelle Adams, and we got Have a Cigar playing here, which means I got to get out of here. Thanks to Andrea, first time producing for me. Have a good week, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. We'll see you next Sunday.